Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
Good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Yeah, always great to be here on Sunday night. We've been going through some, as we used to say in our hippie days, heavy stuff.
Heavy stuff, man.
Heavy stuff, man. And last week, we were talking from 2 Timothy 4,
which we finally
verses 1 through 5. And we'll give you a chance to get to that again. Then I think, Steve, you should read that again.
Yeah.
And we probably can make a few more comments on it.
Probably. So this is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingly power, proclaim the word, be persistent whether it is convenient or inconvenient, convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but following their own desires and insatiable curiosity, will accumulate teachers and will stop listening to the truth and will be diverted to myths. But you, be self-possessed in all circumstances, put up with hardship, perform the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
Mm. Very powerful. Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned, Timothy was Paul's young protege. And 1st and 2nd Timothy are what are called pastoral epistles because they're Paul's writing to him to kind of tell him how to be a pastor, mm-hmm. how to shepherd his flock of people, which was basically at this point the church at Ephesus.
Yeah.
And here, I mean, as you know, Paul's my hero and he's, he's right on message all the time. And here he tells, Timothy that he charges him before God. So this is serious business. You know, this is a different feeling than, you know, I was thinking about a few things you might consider doing. You know, mm-hmm. you might think about this, or if you feel like it, you might do that. He says, I charge you before God and by Christ Jesus that you preach the word, that you proclaim the word all the time, you know, in season, out of season, when it's convenient, not convenient, no matter what's going on around you, you preach the word, you proclaim the word. I think proclaim's a great word.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you can stand in front of a group of people and read from the Bible in a monotone voice, you know, in the beginning. But when you proclaim the word, you know, it just gives you this idea of enthusiasm and emphasis and attention, you know, pay attention to this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's neat in the Eastern Orthodox Christian traditions. Whenever there's a scripture reading, there's always a line that comes before it that says, be attentive. You know, listen to this because it's God's word. You know, don't doze off now because this is God's word. And, you know, Paul's saying you preach and you also convince and you rebuke and you exhort and you teach and you have to have patience. You have to have long suffering. And this is how you educate your flock. And, you know, later he's also going to tell Timothy, and you as a pastor need to go over these things all the time. You need to go over these truths in your own personal study because it's so important that you have to always have it fresh in your mind. Mm-hmm. You can't say, oh yeah, I taught you guys that 3 years ago, so I'm not going to do it again. You always have to keep teaching the truth. And he warns him. And if you've heard the last two shows, you'll realize what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, you should go to giftofgraceministries.org and listen to the last two. But Paul tells him there's going to be a time coming. Now this is prophetic, it applied to his time, where people were not going to endure sound teaching. They were going to endure sound doctrine. because they want to hear things based on their own desires. You know, they have itching ears, and they get teachers around them to tell them what their itching ears want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll turn their ears away from the truth so they can hear something nice.
Yeah.
They can hear something good. As we ended with Jeremiah last time, the leader said, you know, Jeremiah, we need prophets that are to tell us something good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're just going to give us bad news, dude, we don't want you coming around here anymore. We're going to get some other prophets that are going to tell us good stuff.
Yeah.
And we're sick of all this gloom and doom. You're nothing but a party pooper.
Yeah. We don't want to hear these warnings that you're always
giving us. Yeah, we don't want to hear warnings. We don't want to hear about destruction. We want to hear good news. So you're going to gather teachers that are going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you good news. God wants me to be rich. God wants me to be healthy. I don't have to worry about the old covenant because all that matters is the new covenant. And Jesus did away with the law. So I don't have to worry about any law. And what the heck? If I take it to the logical extent, like a certain famous person recently did, I don't even have to follow the Ten Commandments because after all, grace covers everything. So I'm in the clear no matter what I do because everything's covered by grace.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like skating on the pond and you don't quite know how thick the ice
thick
is.
The ice is or if there's even any ice at all. Yeah, when you venture far away from the cross of Jesus Christ, yeah, things can get a little bit murky and a little bit blurry.
Yes.
And a little bit distorted.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't see the fullness of God's love for you when you venture away from the cross of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean just a cross, just a symbol of a cross. I mean
right.
him actually hanging on the cross.
Yes.
And as you're talking, it reminds me of something we talked about over the last couple of weeks that was read, the book of Nehemiah, when Ezra,
ooh,
you know, brings out the law of Moses and he reads it in front of the whole assembly. And they begin, and they're crying, and they're weeping.
They're weeping.
Because they had been what? They had been exiled?
Yeah, been exiled in Babylon for 70 years.
Right. And so now they're back. As Ezra brings out the book of the law of Moses, and he reads, and he's not reading just for a little short period of time.
From 6 a.m. to noon.
Yeah. So for 6 hours, he's reading the law, mm-hmm, and the people are weeping.
Weeping.
Because the word of God, it convicts them.
And they periodically fall down and say,
yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
Now, so I'm thinking if you set up a platform in Youngstown, or you and I set up a you and I set up a platform here in Independence,
uh-huh,
and in a public place, and we start reading the word of God at 6 a.m., and we read until noon, I don't think there's going to be anybody weeping. And there's going to be people walking by going, dude, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are you guys doing up there? what is this?
Yeah, sadly.
These people were weeping as mm-hmm they heard the word.
Yeah. So they had wandered away from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They had wandered away from God's word. They had wandered away from the truth that God had established in the covenant with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that law was there to keep them in a right relationship with God so that they would have life with him.
Mm-hmm.
And by straying from it, they broke the commandment, they broke the relationship with him, and they broke the friendship with him, and they were exiled.
Mm-hmm.
So they were separated from God.
Yes.
And that's the same thing that happens to us. When we don't follow God's word and follow God's laws, we're going to be separated from God. We're going to be exiled from him. With Jesus Christ, we have the grace of God's mercy, but you can't presume upon God's mercy. You're not entitled to it.
Yes.
It's given to you out of love.
Yes.
You don't go to God and go, hey, give me some of that mercy and forgiveness because I demand it.
Mm-hmm. After all, I'm a son now. I'm a daughter now, so just give it to me.
I want it.
Yeah.
No. These people were repentant.
Mm-hmm.
They were weeping.
Yes.
They sat there and listened to the word of God for 6 hours, and they were cut to the heart.
Yes.
Because they had sinned against God. They had been separated from God. And now God in his mercy is reconciling them back to himself.
Yes, yes.
And if there's one thing that God does really well, I mean, he does a lot of things really well, like everything. But reconciling a sinner back to himself is one thing that Christianity has that no other religion has.
That's right. No other religion has it.
No other religion has that. No. Because God is rich in mercy.
Yes.
And he desires to be with us, or us to be with him, so much that he sent his only son to die in our place.
Yes.
And take on the punishment of our sin so that we could be with him.
Yes.
Because the atonement is there in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes. So we can have metanoia and then salvation.
Yeah.
Repentance is the way into the kingdom.
Yeah.
The blood makes the way. It's the only way. And of course, we can get into what people think of that now. I mean, who wants to talk about crosses and blood? That sounds just weird.
That's another thing.
And that's a whole other story, because my itching ears don't want to hear that.
Well, it's another example of people being led astray from the truth, the kerygma,
yes,
of what is essential,
yes,
essential teaching of Christian doctrine.
Yeah, and when you were saying that, I was thinking, too, about Peter, Pentecost morning.
Mm-hmm.
He does this beautiful teaching about David and the prophets, and here was Jesus, and he was the Messiah, and you guys killed him. And it says they were cut to the heart. And you can imagine these people, some of them were probably weeping. And they said to him, "Brethren, what do we do now?"
Yeah.
And he says, "Repent and be baptized." Now, some of these guys, 52 days before this, might have been yelling, "Crucify him."
Mm-hmm.
Might have been watching it, thinking, "Hey, good, he got what he deserved."
Yeah.
And now they're saying, "What do we do?"
Yeah.
"We killed the Messiah."
Mm-hmm.
And Peter says, "Repent and be baptized."
Yeah.
Because now they have a chance to come in. I mean, something horrible in the eyes of man had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these people were, complicit with that. But now he tells them, "Repent, be baptized, and you can come into the kingdom."
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that you thought that 52 days ago,
mm-hmm,
or that you yelled, "Crucify him." But now we want convenience. You know, we want health. How could something be wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of God is this?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I have this or that or the other thing? It must be, I don't have enough faith. Or if you're the preacher, you can say, "Well, if you had more faith, mm-hmm, God would heal you of this."
Yeah.
Imagine somebody who's got a terminal disease thinking, "Oh, I got this because I don't have enough faith."
Yeah.
I mean, this is horrible thinking.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond even, I don't even know what to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people turn aside to fables, it says. Paul says to Timothy, people will believe fables
because
they don't want to believe the truth.
Yeah.
And he says, you have to do the work of an evangelist, and you have to fulfill your ministry. You have to keep preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
You have to keep preaching the word.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see somebody turning to fables, you're supposed to approach them, because it says there that you convince, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and patience.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say, "Oh, well, that's just Joe. That's just how he thinks."
Yeah.
You say, "No, this is what the word says. And this is what you do as an evangelist and the minister of these people."
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, they'll turn to fables.
Right.
And we've seen this. God wants me to be rich. Mm-hmm. He wants me to just speak my future into existence.
Yeah.
When I wake up in the morning, you can go to a really big church in Houston and hear this. When you wake up in the morning, you just say to yourself, "I have the power where I know today I'm going to succeed in everything I do. I'm going to do well in my business, and all these good things are going to come to me. That power is just like coming right out of me." Well, the Bible says you have no or very, very little power of your own. The rich guy who said, "But I got so much stuff, I think I'll just build some more barns." God says, "You fool, tonight you're going to die."
Mm-hmm.
When you get up in the morning and you say, "Oh, today my power is going to come out and I'm going to just do so well in my business," you may be dead by the end of the day because you don't know what's in store for you.
Very true.
In the book of James, James talks about whose name was really Jacob, Yaakov, by the way. But James talks about how, you know, businessmen are going to say to themselves, he doesn't call them businessmen, but I forgot what the term is. Businessmen are going to say, we're going to go to such and such a town, and we're going to set up our business, and we're going to make this much money, and we're going to stay there for a certain amount of time. And after we've made this much money, then we're going to come back. He says, don't think that way.
Mm-hmm.
You say, we're God willing. If it's God's will, we're going to do this. If it's God's will, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Not, this has to happen because I have the power of a word.
Yeah, when you're saying that, what comes to mind is from John chapter 15, where it says, I'm the vine, the true vine. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing.
Hmm.
Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me, and my word remains in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit and become my disciples.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, as the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's a spiritual unity that is there that if we separate ourselves, as you were saying that, you know, well, it's my power. I don't need Jesus for anything then.
Yeah.
I don't need God for anything because I got the power.
I can speak it into existence.
Yeah. I mean, that's very close to, you know, the Garden of Eden.
That's right. It's exactly the same.
Well, God doesn't want you to know that because you're going to be just like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys haven't figured this out yet.
You haven't figured. Yeah. You're not as smart. Stick with me. I'm very smart. Yeah. And that's how deception comes in to confuse and to disperse the flock.
Mm-hmm.
And to scatter the flock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, man, there's a lot there. With the passage that I just read and what we're talking about, you know, being rooted in the truth, we like to, you know, human beings like to advance into things. We want to go on, and certainly, you know, as a musician, and you would know this.
Yeah.
You know, the discipline that it takes to play an instrument, like a guitar or piano, there's fundamental rudimentary exercises that you do that train your fingers to move independently of each other and to strengthen them. And with those exercises, you can play basically anything as you apply yourself and you advance in skill as your skill level. But there's always the foundation that you start with that you have to remain with, because You can't play a concerto without practicing on the fundamentals.
Mm.
And no matter what level of musicianship you're at, you always go back to the foundation, the fundamentals, because without them, you're going to lose your ability to play.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually.
Good comparison.
Spiritually, if you lose the fundamentals, your moral compass is going to be so far off. You know, you won't know where you're at, and you're going to wonder if you even wake up out of it. How did
yes.
I get here?
Yes.
And that's the thing. Satan can trick you so much that you're not going to even know that where you're at.
Yes.
And you're going to think that you're in the right place, just like all these people in New York.
Yes.
They think they're in the right place.
Yes.
This is wonderful what we've done.
And this is a good point because, you know, I don't know how long ago it was, we did a show where we mentioned the passage where Satan comes as an angel of light. So, You can have a really good looking teacher who's really well spoken, who really seems to know the word.
Mm-hmm.
It can get you believing in fables.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not grounded in the truth.
Right.
And Paul warns Timothy about this because people want to hear what they want to hear.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear about suffering. I don't want to hear about suffering. I don't want to hear about pruning, as you know. Music.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't, I'm learning how to play a bassoon, but I haven't practiced yet. But
you're not going to get very far.
Oh, man. Don't you just blow in the thing? Oh, no.
Yeah. Real quickly, I'll tell you. When I was teaching guitar a lot and Guitar Hero was out, the big thing was Guitar Hero and you press a couple buttons.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd get students that would come and go, I mean, I like mastered Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
And then when they would get to the actual playing of the instrument, one lesson or two lessons, they'd be done because it was nothing compared to the real thing.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ruined a lot of kids.
Well, that's another good example of you want a shortcut. You want good news. I can play the guitar now.
Yeah.
Without all the practice.
I got this video showing, playing the song for me. I'm playing this chord. And
it says it's its own, you know, they do this because of their own desires.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they want. You want your plans to succeed.
Mm.
And of course, I want my plans to succeed too.
Yeah.
You know, you can say, well, 5 years from now, I'm going to do this. And 10 years from now, I'm going to do that. And you realize deep down inside, you might not even be alive in 10 years or 5 years or even later tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you don't think that way because you want your plans to succeed.
Yeah.
And so if the teaching is health and wealth and don't worry about sin and there is no more sin, really, Jesus took care of all that, that all sounds very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I can buy plenty of time on Christian TV.
Yeah.
We can't have Gift of Grace TV, but
maybe sometimes.
I think we only collected $3 million last month, but
we did.
We were down a little bit.
Well,
but Paul says you do the work of an evangelist, the work of your ministry. And then just looking later down, a little bit farther down on that page, Paul talks about how his departure is at hand. And we know that he was martyred right after this letter was written.
Yeah.
But then he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness.
Yeah.
Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day.
Yeah.
So I have to keep on the race, as you were talking about. I can't remember if it was earlier today or last week because all these shows are running together. But it's a long race. It's a long marathon.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Yeah. I haven't run and then thought, you know, I'm kind of tired of running, so I'm just going to sit and relax. No, I want you, Timothy, to do the work of an evangelist because I've been doing this. And I have been running this race with my eyes fixed on the prize. And now I'm about to die, but I've kept the faith.
Yeah.
I've kept the truth that was directly revealed to me by the Lord on the road to Damascus.
Yeah.
And this is what I've preached. I haven't preached different gospels. I haven't changed my mind every few weeks.
Yeah. You know, sometimes when you were saying, like, we have our own plans and our own desires, and we want our plans to succeed. You know, sometimes, and this is true with even pastors and preachers, they can get into their own desire of what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really following what God wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the first part of the New Testament in the book of Acts, as the church was expanding, you never once hear them saying, we need to take up a building fund. Or we need to get a bigger congregation. You know, we need to find a bigger place. It's not recorded anyway, but that wasn't their main emphasis. Their main emphasis was proclaiming that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead and he is Lord and Messiah. Repent and be baptized. That was their mission. And they did it very well. And people were added to the church in great number.
Amen. Paul never says, we're going to give you a chance to plant a seed. It'll be like you coming on a mission trip. Anyway, I can't believe this is over already.
I know.
Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray as we continue with this series that you too would ask God for wisdom to know and understand the truth of his word and the foundation that is built upon the cross of Jesus Christ, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. God bless everyone. Have a great week. Yeah.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.